can't get up for this kind of game. Lord have mercy.
Trib Live Radio presents the Steelers Roundtable with Trib Steelers writers Mark Cabali, Ralph Polk, and Chris Adamski. We talk Steelers 365 days a year. The best Steelers coverage is on Trib Live Radio. The Steelers Roundtable starts now.
Good morning from Pittsburgh. It's game day in Pittsburgh, actually. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, tonight at Heinz Field. This is the Steelers Roundtable. I'm Mark Bali along with Chris Adamski. Ralph Polk will be joining us later. And I do think there is a little bit of news to watch out for tonight. Big Ben. It's the story of Big Ben, Mike Vick. Ben Roethlisberger, as you all know, will be out for anywhere between 4, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. We don't know. But all we do know is this. It's Mike Vick time starting tonight at Heinz Field against the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know, Buzz, what do you think? I'm thinking that, you know, my opinion changes. At first, I was thinking the Steelers could use Mike Vick as a asset if Ben goes down. I'm not quite sure now. Maybe Bruce Gradkowski would be a better fit right now. What are you expecting from Mike Vick tonight?
It is tough. You know, that wasn't a very good audition. I'll say it that way. And those whatever three series he played in St. Louis, it didn't inspire much confidence to me. And the thing I didn't really consider, or I at least personally, was sort of the whole timing thing. And I know I've said this that the Ben and Antonio Brown, I think, and this is, I've said it's a little hyperbole, but in terms of all professional sports right now, in terms of tandems, in terms of the connection they have, the chemistry they have, the sort of unspoken telepathy they have with each other, I think is underrated a little bit, and I think that's going to be missing. And I'm not saying Antonio don't get his 5 catches and 75 yards.
Probably one in the thing first quarter,
you can
right?
promise yourselves that. That's
I
one
think
thing
he got
we know,
that in the first seven but, passes the other day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I looked up and it's like Antonio Brown has now set 35. I'm like, what? What is like? It's like the first drive of the game. But you know what? I think you see. My point is here: the Steelers have so much talent with Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown, even Marcus Wheaton, Heath Miller, that the way they can struggle tonight would be Mike Vick screwing things up.
Yeah,
and that means fumbling, making poor decisions. Who knows? And stuff like that. When they signed him, I'm thinking, wow, this guy's pretty good. He's going to help.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, maybe, just maybe, they need a game manager, a guy that's not going to screw things up.
And it's sad to say, though, because Michael Vick's 35 years old, been in the league for, 15 years, but minus 2, 13, whatever it is now.
Yeah, I heard 15, but then it was really 13. I don't know how that works.
15 years, 13 seasons? Is that the way you'd be technically correct?
He's a 15-year vet, but 13 seasons.
Did he get accrued seasons when you're in prison? I don't know how that works for the union and for
I've never been in prison, so I wouldn't
pension,
know.
Your pension and
I might
like
be in the CBA, but accrued seasons in prison.
That'll be, if not, it'll be in the next one, I guess. But you make up a good point, and that's kind of what it's. Nothing looked natural to me. It's just kind of the naked eye and just sort of off the cuff watching the rest of that game Sunday, the series that he got against St. Louis. It just nothing looked free flowing. Nothing looked natural. Now they were protecting a lead. There's a lot. He has an extra.
Let's put this in perspective.
He only had one practice. That's the scary
part.
Let's
put this in perspective. Now we got a guy who you said depends 13 years, 15 year vet, whatever it is. 35 years old, sitting on the sidelines, backing up a guy who's played 35 consecutive games. You think Mike Vick was in his playbook a whole week saying, you know what, I think Ben might get hurt and late in the third quarter of St. Louis. So the bottom line is he wasn't prepared. You can't be prepared to come into that situation. And at that point, you're just trying to hold on. There's no holding on now. You got to make plays.
Speaking of being prepared and talking about a week leading up to and everything like that, everybody realizes that we're one little ankle twist from Landry Jones.
Which might not be a bad thing.
Playing tomorrow, or playing tonight, I should say.
I'm telling you, how you struggle is Mike Vick fumbling the ball, Mike Vick getting sacked, Mike Vick, just doing something crazy, and we see it happen time and time again. The thing is I wrote this story in the Trib, I don't even know what day it was, 2 days ago. I think it's very smart what Todd Haley was able to do, to be able to, I don't like to say pare down the game book, or the playbook or the game plan, but just make it Vick-centric. what Mike Vick likes to do, what he can do to be successful. And I think that's the best thing that they could have done. I mean, if they only have 20 plays in this book, I don't really care. But it better be 20 plays that Mike Vick can succeed at.
Yeah, and if you have that, and you're right, with Levy, if you get the ball to Levy on, which I'm sure there'll be a lot of that, whether it just be drop plays or traditional
I don't think it's going to be a lot of run. I don't think.
Well, not just, run, but just get him the ball.
That's just not their mentality.
I think there will be a lot of, though, not shovel passes to Bell, whether it be screens, whether it be
waggles. I like the waggle.
There'll be certain
things. I just like saying waggle. Yeah, but yeah. But there's going to be some waggles going
on. There's going to be waggles, yeah.
If it's waggles to Le'Veon or Heath Miller coming across the formation, waggles. There's going to be waggles.
Maybe
tonight.
I'll get to type waggle a lot in the film study on Friday.
Well, then. You better – I don't even know what your responsibility is tonight, but I'm sure it's due by halftime.
It'll be highly in-depth. Mine's web only, so it'll actually be up there. Your game story won't be.
My game story I can write right now. But, you know, I just don't know. What do you think? How much does Le'Veon Bell have to factor into this? I mean, like you said, you alluded to it, running the ball, catching the ball. I guess he could really offset the loss of some of the things Ben can do. But now Baltimore, I mean, John Harbaugh is pretty smart. He knows what they're going to do. They're going to probably try to take him away.
Well, there's no doubt. Right. But you also have Brown. I mean, even the Steelers offense.
You have Brown if the guy can get him the ball.
With Ben has a lot of the quote-unquote the bubble. Everybody loves the bubble screens. But it's going to be the return of the bubble screen. A lot of stepping back and get the ball to AB, get the ball to Le'Veon, which isn't a bad idea in either case. You have two of the best runners, for lack of a better way of putting it, open field runners in the NFL, yardage gainers, I guess, to really make it bland and generic. But if you get the ball in those two guys, it can't be that hard to hit Heath. But I really think it really kind of hit me. You know, I might downplay it sometimes, the whole chemistry, the timing, that type of thing. But it really kind of hit me watching the end of that game, and because you start to appreciate how good Ben was. That game, the San Francisco game, those deep passes he was throwing were landing right in
people's hands. Wasn't he like 9 of 9 to start the St. Louis game too?
Yeah, he probably were.
We have definitely been talking about this for a while now, and I called it an absolute disaster that if Ben's out for what did I call him, a 4-12 team, if Ben's out a significant period of time, and there's a significant period of time against teams like Baltimore. Okay, let's say he's out 4 games, right, at the minimum, which is probably going to be more. Baltimore, San Diego, Arizona, Kansas City. Not bad. If he goes to the 6th week, you throw Cincinnati and Oakland in there. And if you wait till the bye week, you throw Cleveland as well. I mean, at this point, Buzz, let's just say he misses 6 games because that seems like be on the high end of it. What do they need to be after 6 games? Or, I mean, 6 games that he would miss, so 9 games total. For them to have a legit shot of, making a run, maybe making a run at the title. What do you think they need to do here? Say 6 games.
Well, if it's 6 games.
Mind you, against what? 1-2 against the division. 3 against the division.
Well, they would. I think the minimum you'd have to go is 2-4. That puts you at 5-6. It doesn't put you 5-6. What's that put you at? Put you at 4-5.
Yeah.
4-5. They put you a game under 500 with – you have 7 games left. In other words, I put the mark at the 8-game mark, which I know is 5 games, which seems to be the average. And I've been saying this for a while. 6 weeks. If you're out 6 weeks, the 6th game in football, 6 weeks away, is actually 6 weeks. So I don't know if that means you can't practice in 6 weeks if somebody says that, or you can't get in the game. Anyway, so I've been assuming 5 games. So that's half a season. So if you can just go, if you're Michael Vick, if you're the Steelers, even just go 2-3. That has you then at 500 for a second half of the season with your quarterback coming back. You have the 3 road division games late. You have everything in front of you then. If Ben Roethlisberger, hey, it won't be easy, but he's Ben Roethlisberger. If he can't get you in the playoffs, start with a 500 record and having half a season to go, then you didn't make the playoffs.
I mean, 500 might be good just for the fact that I think, okay, Cincinnati 3-0. Baltimore and Cleveland are awful. So look at the next 3 weeks for Cincinnati, and I just looked this up, and you're looking Kansas City, Seattle, and Buffalo before their bye week. So that's not an easy stretch for the Bengals. So we can assume the Cincinnati Bengals aren't going 6-0.
I think they've already won 2 road games. They've beaten they beat Baltimore, which I know is 0-3. So I'm using two different logics here to explain the impressive wins when you know Baltimore's 0-3, but they still won at Baltimore, which isn't easy to do. And they won at Oakland, and everybody laughs at how they won at Oakland. But Oakland's won their two games since and looked pretty good doing it too. And they were completely dominated by Cincinnati in the opener there too. So that might be your problem. Is yeah, I mean you could. There's a path here to an easy second place, and usually you figure every single year that's at least one wild card comes out of this division, and a lot of times two. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case this season. I think you know finishing second place at the AFC North might not be the automatic wild card that it has been. You know, really going on almost a decade now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to even look at this Bungles schedule at the end of the season, and I mean, all of a sudden you're playing at San Francisco. It doesn't look bad now, and you're playing.
Well, that's where, you know, winning that game.
But you got Arizona, too.
Think about it. This is really going in-depth and really just kind of stupid in a lot of ways. But that December 28th game or whatever it was last year in Heinz Field was for the division title, the night game. The Steelers win that, therefore win the division. But Le'Veon Bell gets hurt, thereby completely torpedoing their chances during the playoffs. They lose the next week. It gives Cincinnati the second-place schedule this year, so they get to avoid New England and Indianapolis. Which you take the second place team in those divisions, that's a pretty significant drop off from the first place team in those divisions, and maybe that decides division title then this year. So that game last year, even though it was a win, was a loss, and could be in a lot of ways for the Steelers.
You love my pre-show notes here. I write it down. And I wrote Ben. So it tells you that that's probably that, all that's you really needed. We probably should be talking about, but I'm thinking we probably should be talking about a little bit more here on the Steelers Roundtable on Trib Live Radio. We're here every Thursday, 9 to 10 p.m. Big night tonight because we get to preview the little bit of the game against the Baltimore Ravens over at Heinz Field. And typically, Ben, I mean, what was that stat, Buzz? I remember something like, whatever. I think Ben's missed six games against Baltimore, and the Steelers are 1-5 in those games. Or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
So that's not – I mean, you put that together with trying to get Vic acclimated, trying to Baltimore backs against the wall, you know. Baltimore has never lost four consecutive games under John Harbaugh since he took over in 2008. So everything's pointing here towards a – you know, not a very good outcome for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get to our predictions here. A little bit later, and since me and Buzz has been talking about let's just full disclosure here, Ralph, we're bringing Ralph Paulk on right now. One Justin Labar, the legendary guy, who
he is.
Pretty soon he's going to be like, first of all, he comes walking in with a tie and a camera, so he was videotaping us for the first like 8 minutes or something, so that's why we couldn't have Ralph on. He's via satellite. We'd like to say a satellite phone, but yes. Ralph, guess what we were talking about in the first segment? You'll never guess about who.
Well, the satellite is down here, but I can still. No.
It was somebody called Ben.
I couldn't even guess what Ben Roethlisberger.
We made our points known about Ben and the Vic situation. Ralph, what are you expecting to see out of Vic tonight? Is it going to be. Has he had enough time to be able to lead? I mean, I know it's a good offense, but it's a totally different offense with Vic. Does he have enough time, and what do you expect from the 35-year-old 15 to 13-year veteran? That's an inside joke, Ralph. We don't know if he's been in the league 13 or 15 years, but what are you expecting from Vic?
Well, you know, I expect that, you know, all the talk about kind of dummying the offense down for Michael Vick, that may be true, but what I do expect from him is to essentially hand the ball off to Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. But I think to have a controlled passing game, one of which probably will involve, you know, a lot more Heath Miller, you know, trying to get the ball to Antonio Brown in short passing situations, even quick screens, you know, things like that. And I think it'll try to build him into, you know, in a situation where maybe next week or a couple weeks down the road where he's a little more confident doing the things that they want him to do with the offense. But what I expect really, you know, more than anything else, and so Michael Vick to be Michael Vick. I can't get this sense, you know, that, you know, Mike Tomlin and Todd Haley, you know, want to take the cap off of, you know, and somehow kind of muzzle Vick. They didn't bring him for that reason. I think they brought him feeling, you know what, he can fit into our offense. if something happens to Ben, you always have to consider these things. And we can plug him to the offense, and because he is who he is, you know, if you get Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, who well will be back until a week now, but we have these guys in the offense. Boy, they demand a lot of respect from defense and secondaries. They can open things up for a guy like Michael Vick. Can you imagine, Chris and Mark, if Michael Vick had the kind of talent? He's had talent, but if he had the kind of speed on the outside with Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Marcus Wheaton, and Antonio Brown, this is the best cast of characters he's ever had. You know, so I think defense has to respect those guys, and Michael Vick becomes more of a dangerous option. Can he run as effectively he did in the past? To me, that's the question more than anything else. You know, how explosive can he be when he's had those opportunities to get out into open space?
What are you talking about? You don't like Vick's rookie year when he had Maurice Smith as his starting running back? Or Terrence Mathis and Sean Jefferson and Tony Martin as his running Brian Finneran.
I don't care who he had.
Reggie
not
Kelly,
as good as Antonio Brown, Tavis Bryant,
Bob Christian, Bob Christian, the fullback. You're saying he didn't have much talent here. Here's the big question. I think you alluded to it, Ralph, about Vic's speed, and he got a little smile on his face saying, "I still got it when it comes to the speed." The question is, does he still have it? I'm not quite sure. I mean, last year, first of all, what do you have? Negative 5 yards rushing against the Rams. Last year, he averaged 6 yards a carry, had 153 yards, 300 yards, 300 yards. I'm telling you, put it this way. Mike Vick is not the 1,000-yard rusher he was in 2006. I don't think they're going to have any design run plays, Buzz. Do you think they will?
I think it goes back to – because Landry Jones is the – I have much fewer faith, less faith than you do. I don't think they want to see a number three in the game. So running number two makes seeing number three more likely. So I don't think you'd be seeing
running. I
don't
think you can control that. He's going to be a one-read, maybe two-read guy, then take off. So that's just as dangerous as calling a quarterback draw. Right, Ralph?
But here's my thing, though, Mark, is that you have to compare apples to apples. And you have to compare, you know, Mike Vick to other
quarterbacks. This is apple season.
And I think the thing is that I really believe that Michael Vick still, maybe it's not the fastest guy anymore, but still, you know, if you got linebackers chasing you, and these linebackers are pretty fast for the Steelers, but they're not that fast. For the Ravens, I still don't think they're that fast that it can contain Michael Vick if he gets around the edge. The problem with Michael Vick in the last few years is that he's played in offenses, let's be frank, in Philadelphia, you know, where they try to, in some ways, you know, they wanted to keep him in the pocket. You know, you just can't do it. This is what San Francisco is trying to do to Colin Kaepernick, is they want to make him a pocket passer. You know, to me, you get a quarterback out of his comfort zone and what he likes to do, he's not the same quarterback. I do believe somehow that Todd Haley, he's allowed Ben Roethlisberger to be free. I mean, to do things he wants to do with the football. Let's be frank here. I think that's one of the reasons why Roethlisberger has really, you know, performed so well the last couple of years. That's who he is. I mean, he can throw the football. He can keep plays alive. You don't think they want him getting hit a lot and things will happen like they did on Sunday when he's trying to keep a play alive? Ultimately, you're going to get that. But I think the same risks are involved with Michael Vick. It's that you let him do what he does. And if he gets in the pocket, and you're right, Mark, he's not as fast, he's not as elusive. But you know what? Compared to, you know, the other 31 quarterbacks in the league are going to be starting on Sunday. He's just as fast as any of them.
You know, I'm just looking up some stats right now, and Baltimore Ravens struggle defending the pass. You see what happened last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, all of a sudden, you're going to have to throw the ball against Baltimore, but they struggle a little bit. We seem to put a lot of
They're not good against the run, either, so that defense is
well,
just
apparently
not
they're not good at much of anything, to be honest with you. I mean, I always said that last year.
You were right about the ball.
I think they
stink. I mean, they're 27th against the run. That's what they should be concerned about.
Yes, and yeah. they're just not good. I mean, their secondary, I mean, it's just awful. And you're going to have to throw the ball. Yeah. But you know what, though? There's a guy on the other side, and let's not sugarcoat this a little bit at all. The Steelers secondary really haven't faced a good quarterback over the past 2 weeks in Colin Kaepernick and Nick Foles. Joe Flacco can wing it. So I think that's going to be a key tonight if this secondary is able to, not allow the 400-yard passing game.
And Mark and Chris, that's one of the things that, you know, I wrote today, a shameless plug on the story, is that, you know, this is a secondary, you know, in the Steelers that just hasn't faced very good offenses. You know, I thought going in that defensively, you know, San Francisco and St. Louis would kind of slow them down a little bit, and then the ground games would be effective. You know, none of that stuff happens. You know, now you look at, you know, playing Baltimore, and I got to tell you, you know, Steve Smith is a huge concern for them. Obviously, that's what all they talk about in the locker room. You know, but can you imagine the guy that supposedly that the Ravens drafted just so the Steelers couldn't get him? If you want to believe those conspiracy theories, you know, Max Williams could end up being a huge part of this. You know, this game, when you consider that you know the second lead receiver, Crockett Gilmore, the tight end, may not even play. You know, so, or I guess he's not going to play. So you're right, Mark. I mean, this secondary, it's for the first time they're facing a very efficient passing game, and it could. I don't know. Does that give Baltimore enough? Can it save that defense enough to win this game?
It's going to be tough. I mean, I'm not quite sure. What about this rivalry, Buzz? Is this rivalry? I hate to say when they say the best. I mean, the best. I'm sure the best rivalry in the 70s might have been the Steelers and the Raiders. You know, I always knew the Steelers and the Browns in the 80s were good. But the Steelers-Ravens rivalry has been, other than maybe a game last year, it's been a three-point difference one way or another. Even though the Ravens stink at 0-4 or 0-3 and the Steelers were without a quarterback, I mean, does this lose anything tonight at all? Any luster?
Well, one thing I kind of laugh at, and I'm not disagreeing with you or poo-pooing the rivalry or putting it down or anything, is that you probably hear it tonight even, like the AFC North decided by this every year, but the Bengals keep winning the freaking division. You know, I know they didn't win it last year, but the Bengals have won it much more in recent years than the Steelers and Ravens combined practically. They keep winning the division. You know, last year they finished second to the Steelers, but they won it in 13.
Other year or something?
Yeah, so that kind of always amuses me when people say, like, the AFC North, like I heard them say it on Sunday, you know,
I think a lot of
always comes down to this game. And I'm like, well, it comes down to the
AFC divisional game one year, the AFC championship.
Yeah,
game
no, and you're right. I just think it just kind of amuses me, the lack of, you know, respect for the Bengals whenever they.
But boy, this looks different though, right?
Franchise recently.
No Nagata. No Elodie Nada. No, I don't even know who else is missing.
No Suggs.
No Suggs.
Of course, there's no Ray Lewis. There's no Ed Reed. There's
Ed
no
Reed.
Darnell
McPhee.
Troy Polamalu. Of course.
Keys. I mean, yeah. I wonder how much. I mean, I would imagine these guys. You know, not really. I don't know how to take this. Beyond, I mean, no Ike. I mean, he was part of this forever. These guys knew what this meant. They knew these, you know, what was it, 2010 AFC championship game. They knew about this stuff. These guys don't. So if.
I mean,
I don't know how much of a rival it is to them, be honest with you.
The Steelers offense, which is so good, and you know, one of the best offenses in the league, and I know there's a couple guys
Dan
out.
Dan McCullers knows what this is.
Yeah, that's
about,
what I mean, I'm going up and down. I mean, Ramon Foster might have a long enough history that he could start to, but I mean, that might be it. I mean,
but you know, I got to tell you though, Buzz, and I think one of the things why this rivalry, you know, still has, you know, still has such reverence, I think, with fans in both Baltimore and Pittsburgh, is the fact that you look at these franchises over the years, and history means something to fans. Now, this is a team that recently won a Super Bowl just three seasons ago. You know, they're talking about Baltimore. Pittsburgh was in a Super Bowl, you know, just five seasons ago, and they won a Super Bowl. You know, so it's like these teams, since they've been playing in this rivalry, you know, since the move from Cleveland to Baltimore, Baltimore won that Super Bowl in 2000, you know, these teams have won, you know, like four Super Bowls, or maybe five, or, you know, however that number shapes out. But I think this is what defines the rivalry. Is that they know that they win playoff games, they win championships, you know. And when you look at the Bengals, and I agree with you, Buzz, that, you know, this is a, you know, they're kind of like the whipping boy, even though they win games, is that they just haven't won a playoff game. They haven't done anything in games that matter, you know. So they're going to always be, I think, you know, the second tier team in a 4-team division, you know, along with Cleveland. You know, it's just, that's just the way it is. And until they, you know, they beat. You know, if they beat Baltimore, Pittsburgh in a playoff game, I think there's going to always be that way.
Beat anybody in a playoff game. I'll take that at this point. And I kind of said that, you know, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it is sort of funny. Because, on Sunday, they promote the game, and they said, AFC, it doesn't really come down to that usually, at least in recent years. But that being said, the Steelers and Ravens are usually in the playoffs, and they have won. The Steelers won it last year. The Ravens won it a couple years ago. So, it's not as if at all that all three of these teams, and that's the thing talking about the division is, and it's like I mentioned earlier, I don't think Ralph was on yet, about how if the Steelers with Vic and the Bengals already 3-0, the Bengals might get too far ahead of them to catch them by the time Ben comes back. And usually that's like, okay, well, second place in the AFC North traditionally, if you go by the past decade, has usually been at least one wild card team comes from the division. And that's been true with the Bengals and, or the Bengals, Ravens, Steelers. It seems like every year at least two of them are making the playoffs. But I don't know if this year necessarily, if that's going to – you can't assume that, I guess. You always have to strive for the division title for much different reasons than baseball, how you want the division title. You want the division title in football too. And it's because that's only what you're guaranteed. There's only two wild cards out of, 12 other teams in the conference. You don't want to roll the dice and assume you're going to get one of those. So winning these division games – you have a team here. It's 0-3. Let's strip everything else away. Let's forget about Ben Roethlisberger being hurt. Let's forget about the rivalry. Let's forget about the Ravens are usually considered to be a division title contender. You have an 0-3 team at home here. You're already a game back in the division. Losing this game going down the road against a division opponent just creates a whole layer of mess that you don't want to deal with that you can really regret come December.
Yeah, you know. It's what I think about rivalries is I think it's just like you said. I mean, I think you have to win, and if it's not each team winning games, it's not a rivalry. And these teams, I mean, look at last year. I know they were similar in records, but the bottom line is Steelers were division champs. Baltimore Ravens was a sixth seed, and they came in here, you know, not long after the Steelers put a pretty hefty whipping on them, and quite embarrassed the Steelers in front of their home crowd to knock them out of the playoffs. And that's how you get rivalries. I mean, there's a reason why Jerome Bettis picked this game to have his Hall of Fame ring be presented to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Jerome probably never played a game. Yeah, he did, right? I'm thinking Bettis was gone in 05. How many big games were there between the Steelers and Ravens leading up to that point? I guess the 0-1 playoff game.
Bettis didn't play in that. He got hurt, or he was hurt still.
I guess
2001,
that,
the Steelers were the best seed, the top seed in 2001, and the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2000. So they had played.
Yeah, there's a reason why they do that. So it is a big game all around. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but we will talk about that more when we return here on the Steelers Roundtable at Trib Live Radio.
Have a great season. Go Talbots! From Mars National Bank, one true community bank. Online at marsbank.com. That's marsbank.com.
Pittsburgh's college hockey team, the Robert Morris Colonials, take to the 84 Lumber Arena ice at the RMU Island Sports Center on Neville Island this season as defending Atlantic Hockey Conference champions. Season, group, and individual game tickets are on sale now. New ticket prices for the 2015-16 season are in effect and offer many great opportunities for Colonial fans to come out and support their favorite team. Season tickets start at just $120 for 15 games. Individual tickets start at just $10 if you buy in advance and $12 day of game. There are also special discounts for kids, seniors, and military, plus lots of promotional giveaways. For more information or to buy, visit rmutickets.com or call the RMU Ticket Office at 412-397-4949.
Home and Office Consignment Gallery. Quality pre-owned furniture and furnishings at prices you won't believe. We have photos of everything in our store, located at 100 Broughton Road in Bethel Park on the corner of Route 88. Two huge floors of inventory. Stop in today. You won't believe what's in here, and our website is updated daily, so you can check us out at homeofficecg.com. And visit us on Facebook, Home and Office Consignment Gallery. Call 412-347-0413.
Hoots Again, located at 3115 Walnut Street, Christie Park. Reader's Choice Award Gold winner for Fish Sandwich and Bar, voted by the Daily News Readers. Visit our dining room and see why we're always voted number one. Hoots Again on Walnut Street, Christie Park. Call 412-664-4668. That's 412-664-4668 for Hoots Again. Now back to the Steelers Roundtable on Trib Live Radio.
I like that bed music.
All of a sudden, I'm hungry for a fish sandwich.
at 9:30 in the morning.
Oh man, hoots again, man, baby.
Let tartar me tell sauce you. At 9:30.
I'm not a tartar sauce guy. I'm strictly the Yinzer champagne of ketchup. You know, I forget where I was, and somebody was making fun of me about ketchup. It's like, what are you talking about, man? Is that like the thing to do or something? That people make fun of Pittsburghers for putting ketchup on everything?
I don't put
ketchup on my eggs. I think that's weird.
So a fish sandwich is fine, but eggs
is
weird.
Yeah, I love fish.
You sit there. Okay, you complain about being judged for putting ketchup on a fish sandwich, and you're saying pretty much, which
is
fine.
No.
So, and then you turn around.
I'll tell you exactly where it was. I was at NOLA down at wherever, Market Square, and some dude, and I could tell he was from, you know, probably New Orleans. He had the old Ike Taylor accent. And I got a shrimp po' boy, and I guess fries come with, and he said something about, I guess you want ketchup too, because I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, you know, I took a little offense to that. Sort of how Joe Flacco,
a transition, what a pro,
is taking a little offense that Ben Roethlisberger's not playing. Let me read this quote he told. I don't know who he told, but it was on their website. That he said, shoot, I'd love to have Ben playing this game and going up against him for another time. I just think it's good for the game. It's good for football, good for the rivalry. You got everybody's team the way they really want, and I think the fans need feed into it more. Blah, blah, blah. Competitor, blah. Do you feel for 1 second, Ralph, that Joe Flacco wants Ben Roethlisberger to play this game?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're lying.
About as much as Ben wanted Brady in the opener, too, I think, right? Probably the same quotes.
Exactly. You know, as a football player, they're a little different than most athletes. I really believe this. You know, does Rafael Nadal really want to face, you know, a Djokovic in the final? No, he'd rather face some guy who's unranked in the U.S. Open final.
Now. You're talking tennis.
Hey, I had to slip that in.
I'm surprised you had to slip in.
On those scores, on the individual level, yeah. But why would a quarterback sit there? He's got 10 other guys around him anyway. He's more worried about his offensive line playing well, or, you know, that defensive line playing well. No, I think he would have rather see, you know, Ben Roethlisberger in the game, because there's something about it. We just talked about this. It's a rivalry game. You want everybody at their best, so you can say, when you kick their butt, you beat them at their best. You know, hey, Bill Roethlisberger wasn't there.
You know, the Ralph Paulk Tennis Hour, now debuting on Trib Live Radio. If you could get Serena on, Ralph would do it.
Yeah, well, you got that right. But hey, look, wait. But Chris, I know Chris agrees with that.
You know what?
I'm a big tennis guy. I really am. Honestly, in all honesty. But yeah. I don't think.
Let's all be honest.
Ralph,
but Chris, you agrees with me, right? Chris agrees. With me. We're talking Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco, Serena Williams.
I think professional athletes in general just lie. Period. I mean, what is Joe Flacco going to say? Thank God Ben's not playing. Then he get torn apart. Didn't you tweet something about that yesterday, Buzz? Brady?
Tom Brady said, when you're speaking publicly and you've got a lot of people listening, I think it's probably in everybody's best interest in today's day and age to say as little as possible. That's the way it is right now and the way our culture is.
It's called media coaching.
Everything is out there.
And it's terrible. And that's what happens when somebody says something, maybe not inflammatory, but at least a little interesting. We all like get the big smile on our face, and we run to our computers and start typing breaking news and stuff, because for the most part it's just boring. Yeah, everything they say is boring.
And if anybody watched Hard Knocks, my old buddy Bill O'Brien, who
I like him,
had a segment. I think I have a man crush on him, but he was saying he put out at a team meeting, and he was playing a little game. If anybody, the role play of media asks you a question, how do you answer it? I'm just trying to work my hardest, and every day I come here prepared to work.
That sounds like William Gay, right, Ralph? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a fine line between not trying to say anything inflammatory and being a total dick. And you know, sometimes these players.
You can say that on radio.
Yeah, you know, we're allowed to say that. You know, I'm not allowed to refer to the male anatomy, but I'm allowed to call somebody a dick, right? I think that's legal. If not, we can just beep it out.
Well, we're not FCC anyway. We're a podcast.
Whatever. We probably should be talking about the Steelers. There is a big game coming up in a couple hours, and Ralph, your notebook's due in 10 minutes.
You're a running gamer.
I'm working on that now.
It's due. All right, let's talk about the other side of the ball real quick, the defense.
The defense.
They won that game for him last week. I mean, put it point blank,
no,
period.
Ryan Shazier again.
Yeah, without Shazier, no Dan McCullers again, that complicates the defensive line rotation. You have the 35-year-old or however old Will Allen is back there at safety. You have Cortez Allen can't get in on the field. Considering that everything that's happened to this defense in 3 weeks, I am totally shocked that how well they played. I have a feeling it might be reality check.
Well, that's the thing.
This week,
it's watching
Justin
that game
LeBar,
Sunday.
Reality check.
Now, the thing about watching the game Sunday is, yes, you have to factor in that it's Nick Foles at quarterback, that it was a guy coming
off
a torn ACL.
That's a team that stuck it to Seattle
two weeks before. Just on face value, watching that game, that reminded you of the Steelers' defenses of what, the Big Nasty D or Blitzburg, whatever nickname they had.
I'm guessing you had a shirt like that. You remember that big net, like Ray Seals was on it or something, wasn't
it? Was it Ray Seals?
It was like Big Nasty D.
I feel like it might have been Greg Lloyd. I don't know. But it was – the Rams could not run the ball at all. They couldn't move the ball. And the Steelers, I found a couple of things about how they haven't allowed a 15-yard rush by a running back yet this season. They've only allowed a couple 10-yard rushes by a running back. Running backs are averaging 2-point-something yards a carry against the Steelers. That's what the Steelers, when the defense was good – it wouldn't let teams run the ball. Now,
but is this defense good? I guess the question.
Well, I'm just saying it looked that way on Sunday, and you have to factor in who they're playing. But this D line thing, they have five D linemen on the roster. LT Walton, I don't think he's ready. He might be a fine player down the road, but I don't know if he's ready yet. So that's becoming a concern. If somebody else gets hurt in the game, as much as they like to rotate
these guys. If anybody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know. All of a sudden, you're super, super thin there. And I know you're mourning the loss of Keshad Lyons from the 53-man roster. That was a curious
decision. I'm not quite sure why you felt the need to bring on Chickalo.
Mostly the number situation, as I'm talking about, because there's no healthy D lineman at all in reserve, and outside linebacker to spot where you have too many guys, you can't even find playing time for all of them. Now, so it's either they found out Chickalo was going to be signed by somebody, or
I asked that question to Kevin Colbert. You don't have to tell him. I mean, you don't have to say, hey, we want to pick up Chickalo. All of a sudden, Chickalo's in St. Louis and saying, see ya.
But if you're the agent for a team or agent for a player, then you could say, hey, the Rams want him. You know, he's comfortable here. He, you know, fits blah, blah, blah. And then the
give me a couple more bucks.
Yeah, who knows?
But is Chickalo worth that? I mean,
we don't know exactly.
Typically,
what
happened. I don't
know. But maybe on special teams, maybe they're you know, I don't know. But the special teams haven't been that bad.
I don't think Chickalo's getting a helmet tonight, put it that way.
But there's four hurt guys, and you know that Chris Hubbard's not getting it. So inactive spots left, and pretty much everybody in the 53 that's healthy is going to play.
Ralph, I have a little concern with Cortez Allen. Not that he's not playing, but Mike Tomlin said during his press conference Monday that he's dealing with a knee injury, and if he's healthy, we will use him. Which means to me is, he's hurt right now, so when he's healthy, guess who's back on the floor on the field? Cortez Allen. Is Cortez Allen have any chance to being successful this season? Do you think it's a wash for him? And if it's a wash for him this year, he's not back next year. What do you think, Ralph?
I don't think so. I like Cortez Allen. I think he's a fine young man. I think he has some talent. You guys know how I feel about this. I think he's playing out of position. It's just me. You know, I believe he's built to be a safety, not a corner. I think he's in just a bad situation. I think that for him, the handwriting is on the wall. You know, the Steelers bring in, Boykin, they bring in Cockrell. So to me, that says all you need to know about, Cortez Allen. I don't see him with a future with the Steelers, even when he's healthy. I don't think he's going to play very much when he's healthy. I just don't. I think they're settled, at the quarter where they want. When they move William Gates and Nickel, they're going to bring in Cockrell, they're bring in Boykin. And look, Buzz mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Hey, Boykin's having a tough time getting on the field.
Well,
although he played
last
week, but he didn't even sign.
That's scary. You're thinking Cortez Allen and Brandon Boykin are going to be contributors to the secondary. Instead, you have who I don't even know, Antoine Blake and
Ross Cockrell.
Ross Cockrell, who was
not only the first cut. We had some sense that Antoine Blake could really compete for the cornerback spot opposite William Gay. We kind of knew that going into training camp. It was kind of open, but they were trying to give Cortez Allen the opportunity, to hold him off. But for whatever reason, whether he either just doesn't get it done or he has an injury, this guy that's just the way his career has been. And it's you can say that about any number of cornerbacks that this team has drafted over the past several seasons. But no, I see no future Cortez Allen at Pittsburgh, and I think that's unfortunate. Like I said, I think he works hard. I think he's but these other guys, they're just better. Mark and Chris, I mean, that's just the reality. But
they're all free agents too, practically. That's the thing. It's just kind of like the left side of the offensive line.
Gay's free agent.
Blake's a free agent.
A free agent.
Boykin's a free agent. And so if you cut Cortez Allen, then
well, you get Cinquez Golson back. So no, here's the thing with the Steelers, and they don't mince words with this one, man. If you can't get on the field, they don't care who the hell you are. You're not going to be on the team. I can tell you right down this. Willie Colon couldn't get on the field. So when it came between Willie Colon and Ramon Foster, the guy who's basically
Lamar Woodley.
Yeah, I was going to say Lamar Woodley, who. And he was making a ton of money. See ya. Mm-hmm. You're gone. We don't want you. They were afraid Brett Kiesel, if they brought him back, that he would be injured too. So see ya. Cortez Allen can't get on the – I mean, and in some aspect, you have to think it's not anytime soon, but Ryan Shazier's going down that path too right now. I mean, he can't get on the field. Yes. I mean, I know you got a couple more years with him, but you're not going to cut him, but it might – indicate whether or not you want to pick up a fifth-year option on him in 2 years or not. But I think Shazier is – that's a strange injury to me, man. Freaking tie the arm up and go out and tackle somebody.
I think the difference might be with Shazier is that I think the Steelers are a proud organization. In some way, management doesn't want to if rid themselves of someone like Shazier or Jarvis Jones would be an admission – and that they didn't quite get it, or an indictment of their draft procedure. They just missed it. They're gonna be very patient, with these last three or four first round draft picks. There's no way they're gonna give up these guys. I can't even foresee that happening.
Yeah, the guys with like first round type of guys or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean you don't really have much choice, but it sure will determine whether or not sign him.
Mark, if I can go back a second,
you can do whatever you want, Ralph.
But I want to go back to you talked about the defense, and you mentioned the fact about the secondary, how good they are because they're playing against teams that just had no offense. And last week, I think it's indicative of what this defense is capable of and what they are capable of not doing. When you think about the fact that Lance Kendricks, dropped a touchdown pass that essentially could have won this game for St. Louis, at least give him a great opportunity at the end. That I think is the thing that the Steelers need to be concerned about when they play Flacco and the Ravens tonight, because I think the Ravens have a pretty good with their offense the way it's designed, they're going to get some one on one matchups with the tight end and the running back against their linebackers, and I'm telling you, you don't want James Harrison exposed out there the way he was with Max Williams or with Forsett. Out there in the passing coverage. That, I believe, is something that Keith Butler has definitely got his eyes on. He don't want those kind of mismatches in pass coverage.
All right, before we get to our arrow up, arrow down, and our predictions, I want to talk one last thing here, and it seems like maybe after maybe a 10-year span, your Pittsburgh Steelers may have found a punter. I mean, very quietly, Jordan Berry – is having a solid season. I know he's only 13th in average, but he does have 4 inside the 20, 3 fair catches. They've only returned a handful of kicks on him. And I think that's huge for the Steelers. I think that helps out the defense a lot. You got the net average of, 42? But what's your thoughts on Jordan Berry? I think this is – pleasant surprise. Yeah, I don't know the defense now.
Yeah, I don't know I didn't know the stats until you read them. I was curious. I was about to look up the rankings of him, but just in terms of the eye test of watching the games, you don't feel like he hasn't had a real shank. Would have seemed like Brad Wing would have one of those every 6 or 7 kicks would go off the side of his foot. He hasn't had one of those yet, and there hasn't been a short kick really. There hasn't been a kick that's been you felt like it was real low, real what, a little amount of hang time, whatever it was easily returnable. Watching the game, do you feel like every single punt he's had has been good? And hey, we've well documented, more so than punting ever should get, the amount of turnover the Steelers have had over the Mike Tomlin tenure.
44 return yards this year in Jordan Berry's 9 punts. Who leads the league? This is your stat of the day. Jeff Locke. Minnesota punter. Only 2 return yards. All right, Ralph, I know you don't care about punters being a safety, so we'll go to you first with arrow up, arrow down. Who are they, Ralph? I'm sure it's going to be Mike Mitchell, but go ahead.
That's a very good one. Now, you know, my obvious arrow up is Will Allen, and not just because of the interception, but I think there were other plays in that game that the defense made, that were relevant, that kept this team, from losing this game. You think about what happened with the drop pass. But, I thought, Mac Mitchell made a tackle inside the, 10-yard line and reversed that. If he doesn't make it, it's a touchdown. Antoine Blake making the play, to jar the ball loose on fourth down. But in the process of that game, though, I think what Will Allen has done in many ways is he's control of the defense. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks on that defense because of maturity, being a 12-year veteran. I think he's actually in many ways taking control of the defense. That would be my arrow down is James Harrison. For all the talk about, James Harrison being able to put pressure on the quarterback and all those other things, he hasn't done. There will be a couple of sections where he's had some pressure. He's had a half a sack or whatever. How are you able to do that stuff now in the NFL? But I think what we saw on that pass, and I keep coming back to it, and that is the thing that's most visual to me. Watching, Lance Kendrick just blow past him. Trust me, if this is the thing that he's going to get isolated coverage and he's going to be in these situations. And this is the way it's been all year for James Harrison. But they have played against teams who have not been able to take advantage or exploit, his age and the fact that he's always been a lousy pass coverage.
Will Allen, arrow up. James Harrison, arrow down. I'm going next because I don't want Buzz to steal any of my guys.
Oh, here we go.
Buzz would never do that.
We'll go arrow up, Stephon Tuitt. Were you going to pick Tuitt?
No, I wasn't, but that's a good one.
Well, Tuitt's unbelievable.
I'll tip my cap, literally.
Well, put it this way. He leads the team with 2.5 sacks, but better yet is these are the guys, defensive linemen, that he's comparable with when it compares to sacks. Carlos Dunlap, J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn, Chandler Jones, Aaron Donald. These are all the guys he's in that same ballpark with, 2.5, 3.5 sacks. And the guy just – the motor's unbelievable. I don't even like the word motor, but the guy just doesn't stop. Down the field, Stephon Tuitt is a huge arrow up for me. Arrow down, I'm going offensive line. I'm going to center Cody Wallace. Oh, my goodness. Cody Wallace, and we've talked about how he – is a good fit and might not be a big loss with Marquise Pouncey. Cody Wallace is getting beat more times than not at the center position. And I don't think you really have any other option right now. It's not like they're going to Doug Ligurski. You just hope for another month or two before Pouncey comes back. I saw Pouncey was off his crutches the other day, but I think he was on a cane or something like that. He's nowhere close, so it's going to be a Cody Wallace time. So arrow up to it, arrow down. Cody Wallace, Buzz, what say Buzz?
I'm going to go arrow up my boy Ross Cockrell. I think not only showing within to be after 2 weeks after showing up in the facility, and think about it, we're still talking about, and I know a quarterback's a lot different, and so you don't want to throw Vic in there, but Brandon Boykin, he's still a similar – a guy shows up 4 weeks later and Cockrell and passes him on the depth chart. Not only that, from watching that game, watching it 3 times overall, he's a lot of time.
Look at him. I watched the game 3 times.
The Rams and 40. Well, because you passed off the film study to me.
You know what, Buzz? I didn't even watch the second half until like yesterday. I just said, maybe I should watch the second half because the game was going.
Don't let me distract you, man.
I am distracted. Ross Cockrell. Now, let me ask you something real quick. We got a couple minutes about Ross Cockrell. Is it because he's playing well or because Boykin and Allen stink?
Well, I think he's playing well.
I do too. Yes, and I'll put again the caveat as I did earlier about the Rams receivers, even the top receivers, and the 49ers receivers after one or two, the veterans is a big drop off. So okay, it's not like he's out there on top notch
many tonight
Pro Bowl type receivers. But that being said, he's covering his mitt. They're leaving him alone with a lot of these guys. He showed some tackling too. He's been in the backfield. He's tackled. He's fought off. There was a play in Sunday's game. So that type of thing. I think overall he's shown. We talked about all the free agents at the position that he can be part. He'll be part of the secondary in the future here. I think he can be part of the plans in the future. I'm not saying he's gonna be the number one corner. Maybe not even the number two corner. But I think he can be part of your future in the secondary in this whole long, arduous journey to find capable quarterbacks the Steelers have. That was one of them. Arrow down. It's kind of a weak one. I hate to do it because it's not a position that doesn't really matter. But Will Johnson's hasn't played a snap at fullback yet.
Oh, that's Ralph's buddy. So he's fighting words there.
He's my buddy. I'm just saying. I like Will Johnson, but Roosevelt Nix is now getting.
There's always an agenda. Always an agenda. There it is.
It's past him at fullback.
Where's Kenzel though?
Not being a lead blocker anymore. Like that. Hey, this is because I got one right.
What, Kenzel? You picked about 20 of them. Kenzel Doe.
He
probably can't even make it in the CFL, and you had him making this team.
I didn't have him. I'm finding that clip. I'm going back to the podcast at sportstalk.111.com and finding the clip and playing it where I never said
it. Okay, well, we don't care. It's Will Johnson. We got to do some picks here real quick. Ralphie, who do you got tonight? Score. In less than a minute before Mike Barker yells at us.
I'm taking Baltimore upset.
Give me a score.
17-14.
17-14. Buzz.
I'll also take Baltimore by a field goal. I'll say 18-15 because there'll be some stupid 2-point conversions now or something.
Oh, the Roosevelt Knicks touchdown.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a high scoring game. Steelers 31, wow. Ravens 30.5. No, 31-30. Steelers over the Ravens, but I don't know. Who knows? But we'll find out in a couple hours here. We will be back next Thursday, I believe. Yes, Steelers Roundtable game tonight. Thanks for joining us, Buzz, Ralph. We'll see you.